Hey, welcome into a special podcast edition and videocast edition. It's the Moeller basketball season wrap-up. I'm Richard Skinner from Local 12 and Local12.com with Kent McKenzie and the head coach of the Moeller Crusaders, Carl Kramer. Kent and I were, of course, fortunate enough to broadcast Moeller games throughout the season and certainly throughout the tournament run. We're going to talk about the regular season. We're going to talk about the postseason, obviously, and we'll look ahead to a little bit of last year. And Carl, first and foremost, you've won several of the state championships and made several runs to a state final and a state final four. Is there any correlation between any of them that you can take away, that there's a common theme, common bond, common anything?
Yeah, I think there is. Some of it's luck. You have to have luck in every one of these runs, get the right teams at the right time. But really, it's buy-in. I think in the end, if you look at years, you have great years. Everybody in the boat's rowing in the same direction. And we had amazing kids doing that. We have an amazing coaching staff that in a weird way, is we've been together all these years, but Richard, I actually think we're getting better and better as we go on.
You hope you would, right?
Yeah, because, you know, we don't think we've invented it. We keep trying to get better. We keep trying to find new ways. So I just think it's that unified, we're doing this together. It's about us. It's not about any individual. There's not a lot of ego from our players. Of course, Miles McBride, I think, exemplified that. But even our coaching staff, not a lot of ego. You know, we're all willing just to do what we do well and be a team. So I think that's what's kind of made all of them similar.
Going into this season, you knew you had a good core of guys. You certainly had two dudes for sure in Miles McBride and Alec Frame coming back. Miles been through the paces. I think if I did it right, he lost one regular season game in his career.
Right.
So certainly had great – well, actually one game period in his career, had certainly great success. And Alec Frame had been through it with Roger Bacon and obviously with you going to state finals. But you had some pieces to replace. In fact, the guy who's going to probably be an NBA lottery pick this year had to replace him, Michael Davenport, who was as dynamic a wing as I've seen in a long time, a veteran point guard. Did you feel like you had at least the pieces in place? Because you ended up having to rely on three sophomores in your 8-man rotation, and sometimes that can be iffy because you just don't know.
Yeah, and really didn't. I'd like to say that, yeah, we saw this coming and we knew, but when you lose those kind of athletes and then you're looking at, we knew Maxwell would get a lot better,
right.
That natural growth, you know, he would be good. But actually, he even got better. When he decided to play football, I didn't know how that would hold him back, and in all reality, it did. I thought he really had a big jump during the year. Took care of the ball. He's so powerful. And then those three sophomores, it was just, knew they were talented the moment they got there, but did I think that they could play like they played all year long? And I didn't. And so when they really emerged, that's what made us pretty special.
Yeah, the three sophomores, Logan Duncombe, who started, Alex Williams, who was actually, I think, your third leading scorer, who came off the bench, and then Will McCracken, who seemed to get better and better as the year went along. He was always a good defensive player, but started to make some shots for you. It's a big jump, though. I mean, you have them play freshman ball, and obviously they go play summer somewhere, and you see sometimes leaps go that freshman year, sophomore year to junior year, making those summer improvements. But that's a big jump, though, to go from freshman basketball to suddenly playing high-level varsity basketball in your program.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, it's funny. We knew pretty early Logan was going to do it. We didn't have anyone like him.
We're 6'8".
Yeah, we're going to make the big kid, you know, figure out if he can play or not. And Will also in the summer was pretty quick. The funny thing is we were right up till the beginning of the season talking about Alex Williams, if he's on JV or varsity. And I look back now and I'm saying, we're not real smart because – I'm not so sure Alex Williams was one of the best five players in the city last year. I mean, his numbers per minute that he played were just off the chart. We protected him a little bit, and we wanted to do that with a sophomore. We didn't want to put a big load on him, but we will next year.
Sure.
Yeah. Was he your most improved player, do you think?
Yeah, I think the one that did more than I anticipated. I didn't think he would do that. In fact, if you looked at some of our games when we were in trouble, certainly Miles and Alec got us out of a lot of trouble. But if you looked at the third guy who got us out of trouble the most, got big baskets, it was Alex Williams all year long.
Yeah, whether it was a three, whether it was a putback, whether it was something in the paint, a little bit of everything, for goodness sakes.
Yes.
Yeah.
for his size, his footwork and his touch. He's got the softest touch, soft hands for his size. And then his footwork, he's able to get to places you just wouldn't expect him to be able to get to. And I was just so impressed with the fact he's such a big frame, but he just moves so well, so quick. Yeah, and I mean, defensively, I thought defensively he was fantastic.
He's almost positionless, right? I mean, it's hard to pigeonhole him because he has guard skills, but he also has a wide body, and he's strong. So there's really no position. I know you'd sub him in at the five spot when you'd sub, but traditionally he's not technically a five type of guy. He's just kind of a positionless guy.
Yeah, he won't play five anymore for us. He will really do everything for us next year. He will be all over the floor because he's got the ability. I'm afraid that colleges might look at his tweener status and overlook him a little bit. I don't know. You know, if you watch him play, you're going to fall in love with him. But I do think he's that special kid, and the year he had for us kind of put us over the top.
You guys in the regular season, we'll spend this time in this segment looking at the regular season. We'll move to the postseason in the next segment. You got off to a flying start and really weren't headed much during the course of the regular season. Was there a moment or two where you thought, okay, this team has a chance to be special? And was there a moment or two where you questioned, I don't know if they can finish the deal when all is said and done?
You know, as I've told you before, Richard, it's my nature. I always see impending doom. Starting the year, I really thought we would have challenges in our scrimmage season. We played well, and we played the best scrimmage schedule we can, but we had some tough nights. Hilliard-Bradley knocked us around pretty well, and, we were playing okay, but trying to figure it all out. There was no indication early, and then our last scrimmage, which is kind of, we play it like a game.
Mm-hmm.
We went up to Upper Arlington, and they're good. As you know, they got a great coach in Tim Casey, and literally in that game, they could barely get a shot off. Wow. And I think we were up maybe, and I'm kind of guessing numbers, but maybe 34-9 at half. And they're a good program.
No doubt, yeah.
And I remember walking into halftime saying, oh, my goodness. I mean, we are really good defensively. And we had those 6'3", 6'4 guys everywhere. And I knew at that point we got a chance to be pretty good. But then we get out of the gate and we're scoring like 80 a game. I mean, that was, you know, people were shooting it fast against us, and we're getting out on the break, and kind of knew that would be fool's gold eventually, but knew pretty early we could be. I never dreamed 29. No, you
right,
don't think
right,
that.
No, right.
But pretty impressive.
But it seemed like for most of the part, your team would go on these runs, and you'd look at it be 12-6, and it's 24-6, and it felt like that was almost every game. I guess that's what this team was capable of doing, right? Because you talked about you could switch everything if you needed to. You had functional size at almost every position. Yeah. It was pretty much one and done. They weren't getting second chance opportunities. So the counterpoint for teams is, let me get the first best shot I can get and jack it up there and let's go. And that sometimes isn't a great shot. And it just felt like as the regular season went along, there just weren't any ruts. And every team in high school basketball, I don't care how great they are, hits a rut because they're kids at the end of the day. You're going to have a night where there's a homework thing due, or a girlfriend's mad at him, or mom's mad at him, or dad, whatever it is, you're going to have that with high school, because it never felt like as that season went along, the regular season portion, you ever hit that rut. Did you ever hit a rut where you thought, all right, fellas, if we keep playing like this, we're in trouble?
You know, it's funny. You know, the one thing that I pride, a lot of pride in our program, if you looked at us over years, a long time, I watch a lot of high school teams. If you scout on Tuesday nights, you'll see a lot of flat performances.
No question.
You can watch warm-ups. You can kind of just see teams just really aren't in it that night. The one thing I would say about us, we have had very – I'm not saying we've never had them, but very few times. And I give our coaches a lot of credit. I think we have – our coaches are wired. That's our mantra. We talk about every practice. We use this term arete, trying to – everything we do it our best. And I really don't think we take a lot of nights off, and that's I think something that a lot of pride in, and I think it's a key to our success.
Yeah, their consistency, your consistency, and you've mentioned it before, the consistency over the season. You might count on one hand where you had a bad quarter. Yeah. I mean, and as we call the games, we would often say they actually had a bad quarter. When's the last time they had a bad quarter?
Yeah.
I can't remember maybe four, maybe five bad quarters throughout the season where you turn around and go, whoops, they kind of lost that quarter and didn't play real well. And that's as Richard just said, that's rare.
And you know the other thing I think that plays in, the last 2 years in particular, and I think you were referring to this, Richard, you could play us tough for a while, and I think teams would come in with a game plan, and they're locked in. But eventually there would be that 4 or 5 minute period in the game that we would...
It'd just get
away from them. And really, that to me is talent. If you really watch, you kind of watch Golden State play. When Golden State's playing, they've got that talent. Teams will play them tough. But that one segment of the game, and now
it's demoralizing.
Now it's demoralizing. And we, because of all the talent we've had the last 2 years, it just seemed we were able to do that to a lot of people. They may be close in the third quarter. They make two mistakes. Now they're down 10. And that to me is just a team that's got a lot of talent. It's hard to play against talent for 32 minutes.
You have normally an 8-man rotation, and obviously some other guys will play, and you were able this year. It was kind of nice because you were able to play almost your entire bench in a lot of games, which for especially those seniors that are part of that practice squad group, that's a nice thing for them, a nice perk for them. But as you went through the rotation and as things developed, did you feel like, all right, we've got the right guys coming off the bench at the right time who can give us different things, and that's why you can go on those runs, is suddenly it's a different look, it's a different group, it's a different tempo, and now I've got my three starters rested, and back in they go, and suddenly they're able to pick it back up. It just felt like the rotation was almost dead solid perfect, and some of that's those kids that you brought off the bench too.
Yeah, last year I thought we were a little more limited off the bench. We had a good bench, but we were a little more limited. This year, I thought you could put any combination of the eight guys we play and really lose nothing.
Right.
I mean, you really, it was eight guys, and any eight you have in the game have a chance to make a run. In fact, at times, if you looked at, we do some of the analytics stuff. When Alex Williams was in the game, when Michael Kern was in the game, those two in particular, we really had a lot of plus numbers.
That's funny. Michael Kern averaged a point and a half a game.
And that's a yes, but you know.
Yeah, he caused havoc.
Yeah, no question. It's absolute havoc. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. Going in, as I mentioned, you knew you had a couple guys in Alec Freeman and Miles McBride. You can be. I'd like to build around those two guys. Miles probably is a guy that could score 20, 22. Alex is a guy that could score 20, 22. And they did it at times, obviously. How much did they sacrifice for the good of it? And how much of it was maybe just natural because it's just the way you play and it's kind of share and share alike?
Yeah, I think it's a product of the system. And yet they knew that going in. They accepted that. Both of those kids could have averaged more. Miles probably gave up player of the year playing for us, to be honest with you. It frustrates me. I watched the Ohio-Kentucky All-Star game the other day, and, you know, again, I'm watching it like a dad
so I'm
being very impressed, but I thought he was the best player on the floor, and but he would never trade, you know, those championship rings. I mean, that's the ultimate for a player, and I think, you know, there were games he'd take 9 shots. I mean, that's all he took. I mean, he really played the role of a point guard, And Alec the same way. I mean, Alec knew when it was time for him, we needed him to score and we needed him to finish, and he did it. Both of them were so amazing in their ability to put up stats in every category. I mean, you don't get two guys like that are high in assists, high in rebounds, high in steals.
Averaged, I think, a block shot a game even, for goodness sakes.
I think we kind of projected it out. Had Miles not missed his junior year, he would have been top five in the history of Mueller basketball in 6 different categories.
Wow.
And it's why
top
he was,
five.
It's why he was GCL South Player of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year. Yeah. So he did a lot of different things. Lastly, as we kind of wrap up the regular season, you play a great schedule and it kind of builds on itself. Did it ever get to the point of that zero in the right-hand column being pressure for that group, or did you just, it was just kind of keep grinding through it and whatever happens, happens?
You know, I think we just grinded through it. We didn't talk about it. You know, it's not your goal, so it's not anything we ever talked about or celebrated. But then on the flip side, I think there's a reality that everyone's aware of that, you know. And so it's hard to measure, you know, how much. I just say this, for this team to be able to, and, you know, the 17 team did a great job, too, and just fell a point short against a really good Jackson team.
No question.
I tip my hat to him. I think it's hard when that thing is building all the way through to be able to do it and perform really pretty well every night. That's Those kids deserve a lot of credit.
Did you learn from the 17 team? Did you handle this differently, being that they were in a similar situation?
Yeah. I don't think so, Ken. Okay. I think we did it the same way. I never could figure out, you know, how to handle it better. So aside from just locking in on what was in front of you every moment, right. You know, I don't think we did it any different.
Because I remember, you know, I remember some of the discussions. There was a lot of pressure around that undefeated team and going in and trying to finish up that undefeated season. And so there was excess pressure, and this particular team was able to accomplish, you know, that goal, and that one obviously fell a point short and probably had a really good chance to win that game as well. But I didn't know if you felt the pressure, maybe it was just because it was a different group of guys that just handled it differently.
You know, I would even agree with you. I do remember feeling it more in 17 than this year, 19, but I can't tell you why that is.
Being around it, I felt it a little more in 17 as well. Maybe it's because this year those kids had been around it and been there before. I don't know. Maybe it helped.
Lastly, I want to go back to one of the things you talked about not having real letdowns, and again, having seen most of your games this year, at least the vast majority, I very rarely saw it. The way you schedule, it's mostly Friday-Saturday games. I know you do that because of the state tournament and kind of gearing towards that. How much does that maybe help that your team can kind of get fresh during the week and kind of get refocused? And maybe you give them a day off just to clear their minds. And then just, hey, we're playing Friday and Saturday, get locked in for those two nights, and we'll start again next week.
Richard, I will say this, is I've gotten older as a coach, and I know we give more days off now than we ever did when I was young.
Yeah, it always felt like when things were going wrong, you needed to push it more, right?
Yes, yes. And I do think we were pretty cognizant, and we had Monday through Thursday. We did not go all four of those days. And earlier in my career, we definitely would have done that just because that's what you do. You know, I'm the son of a bricklayer, and we're going to work every day. And I have found I do think it makes a difference in the quality of your practice and just how kids walk on the court. I think it makes a difference. I am a believer in playing a lot of Friday, Saturday. I think in a school like ours where academics is pretty tough, and academics is tough for a lot of schools, but at Moeller it's pretty tough. And I just think to have a Tuesday night game is – you can have a couple on your schedule, but if you're doing those every Tuesday, I just think academically it's a challenge. So I do believe in Friday, Saturday, and that's what you have to do to win the state.
Right.
Now, state's talking about changing the whole
setup,
they are.
So
it could be different in the future, but I do think that helps us to do that.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk about the postseason, the run to a state championship for the Moeller Crusaders. It's the Moeller Basketball Season Wrap-Up Podcast. I'm Richard Skinner with Kent McKenzie and the head coach, Carl Kramer, from your friends at ESP Media.
Filling an opening at your company means more than just finding an employee. You're looking for a fit, a match. Robert Half understands that. We know you need someone who can do the work, someone who complements your culture. And of course, you need that someone fast. When it all comes together, it makes for a perfect fit. Satisfaction guaranteed. Robert Half, the matching experts in accounting, finance, IT, legal, marketing, and administrative staffing. Visit roberthalf.com/radio for more information.
Getting answers, finding solutions. Local 12 News investigates.
As soon as we called you, everything happened very quickly.
Not afraid to ask the tough questions. Taking action, getting the truth. Local 12 News investigates.
Welcome back into the Moeller Basketball Season Wrap-Up Podcast. I'm Richard Skinner from Local 12 and Local12.com with Kent McKenzie and the head coach of the Moeller Crusaders, Carl Kramer. We ran through the regular season quickly, as Moeller kind of did with a 20-0 record. Let's get to the tournament and the sectional. And Carl, I know you've been a believer of playing a game. Some teams opt for the bye. You believe in playing a game. And in the sectional, everybody's trying to avoid you, especially this year. And this is no knock on the rest of the city. It felt like there were two teams in the city that were probably destined to meet at some point, you and Lakota East. There's always somebody that could sneak up, but it felt like it was you two. It was you, a gap to Lakota East, and a little gap to the others. So everybody's trying to avoid you especially. But how important is it for you to just get that first game? I know some people say, well, boy, why run the risk of that? And Middletown has some athletes, has some dudes. It was funny. I think you went up 2-0, and they spread you out, and I saw a smile on your face because you knew what they were doing. I thought, man, this always feels like playing with fire, right? Because they ran about 2 minutes off the clock. You guys just kind of sat down and guarded. I'm thinking, you don't let them hang around for long. But you always do feel like it's important to play that first game.
Yeah, you know, I've been all over the place in my career, but I do think, like, when you have 12 days off, it gets a little bit long. And So for us to get back in there and play, knowing those sectional games, we're going to have a lot more talent. Now, the weird thing this year is Middletown was like the 19th seed. They
correct.
Went to 32nd
right.
seed.
No, correct, correct.
And that probably was a little bit of a blessing for us because they were able to athletically do some things. Mm-hmm. And I knew Darnell was going to hold the ball. He did that when he was in high school at Chaminade. He's done that. You know, he's just, you know, he comes from that background. But getting through that game and getting guys a chance to play, and really the sectional tournament's tough because you're
just better.
You're better. But yet you want to stay relatively sharp. You want to make sure that you're building toward when the tough teams show up. So I thought our guys, I could sense from the very beginning that our guys were on a mission. Our guys were on a mission, and particularly Alec and Miles were on a mission, and you could just see it. And I knew we were going to be in pretty good shape.
Yeah, you beat Middletown, which actually, again, was a capable team, 60-32. Then Talawanda, which kind of drew the poison pill. They were a 1-21 team. Yeah. They did take the bye to play the winner of you and Middletown, and that was a roll, 58-17. Coleraine in the championship game of the sectional tournament, a team that's been a bottom feeder for a while in the GMC, snuck up and beat a couple of teams during the regular season. You took care of the first half, and suddenly in the second half, they kind of made a little run at you. How good was that for you guys?
I think it actually was good for us. The one thing that we knew is if we were going to lose, it was going to be a team that really shot the ball well. Thank goodness for us that it was a team that had gotten down by 30,
right.
And because they shot the ball like ridiculously well, and they were deep threes. And, you know, it's tough to get it to the rim on us. We're just not letting you get it to the rim. So if you settle for those deep threes and you're shooting it well, that can be tough for us. I think it was good. I give Coleraine a lot of credit. And I think it really did kind of wake our guys up a little bit. And if you'll notice going into the next game that we had a week to prepare.
Right, for Witten Woods.
We were playing a pretty hot Witten Woods team.
No doubt.
Witten Woods had not lost since we had played them in January. They have some guys. Now, there's some college basketball players on that roster. And that district final, I'm not sure we can play any better than we
played.
It was
5-3, I believe, Witten Woods. And I thought, okay, I'm going to lock in for what's going to be probably a pretty good game here. I thought you were better, but I thought it's going to be a pretty good game here. I look up, and it was 44-9. And, well, before that, it was like 34-7 or something. I mean, that was like a buzzsaw. At that point, I would have to say, as a head coach, you'd say, all right, if our guys are this locked in, we're getting closer and closer to what I think we can do.
Yeah, I felt that night that, in every phase of the game, I mean, we were good defensively. Will McCracken was out of his mind. He was like stealing every pass. He was. That was a game where, you just don't. In Ohio, when you get to the final 32 in Division One,
it's good matchups,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, there are no bad teams. And to have a running clock after the first basket of the second half, I'm going to assume has never happened.
Probably not.
Yeah, it was a pretty remarkable night. We had a really, really, really good team, but I never imagined that we would dominate people the way we dominated people. Good teams.
Right.
This year. It really was amazing.
Yeah, I thought in that game, Will came in and just changed the game as soon as he walked on the court. Probably, along with the Elder game, probably Will McCracken's one of his two best games of the year. And he really set a new tone in there when it was close.
Right.
And he walked on the court and boom, he created so many opportunities to get up and down the floor and to get easy baskets, mainly off of his defensive effort.
Yes.
And he hit the boards really hard. So another one of your guys off the bench that came in and really made an impact on one of your key games during the year.
As a coach in a game like that, when you are in that round, I mean, look, the Talawanda game, you know you're better, and it just is what it is. And
you're trying to manage it.
Yes,
you
exactly.
You don't want to embarrass them.
Correct,
yes.
Correct. You know they're playing hard, and it means something to them, no doubt about that. In a game like that, though, at some point as a coach, do you just look up and go, how is this happening? I've done that times where I've looked down at the other end going, they got no answer, man. Now, obviously, Witten Woods didn't, but I in that game, it just felt like, how do you even keep coaching your guys up in that circumstance?
Yeah, it's kind of true. It's one of those moments I looked up and go, man, you got to appreciate how good this team is. You're getting a coach. And it's there's a whole group of them. You keep putting them in, and everybody's playing well. So I thought that was a night that kind of defined how special this team was.
No question. All right, so we marched to the regional semifinals at the Cintas Center, and like Winton Woods, which was a rematch, you have a rematch with Lakota East. And that was, I don't think, without a doubt, your toughest regular season game, played on a neutral court up in Middletown. They've got a couple of guys that can make shots. Made some shots in that game. I think that was a game Will McCracken helped turn around to that regular season game up there with his defense. You went on that run and kind of took the lead. How nervous were you about this matchup? Just because this wasn't them getting lucky in that game. This wasn't them hitting some just impossible. They hit some shots, but they didn't hit impossible shots. Right. I thought they played really well, and they were a kind of team that could give you a little bit of trouble.
So Skinny, the year before when I went into the draw, when you're the first seed, you don't control much, right. But what you do control happens before the draw in telephone conversations with coaches. So my goal the year before was to get Wayne and Princeton on the same side. I thought we could beat them both, but I only wanted to beat
one of them. Yeah, no, right.
That was my goal, and right. That happened. So this year, I actually had the same strategy. I wanted to get East and Centerville on the same side.
Didn't do that.
And really, when I talked to East, he had indicated to me that wherever we go, he's going opposite. And I knew that Brooke over at Centerville was doing that. So I thought we had it. Well, the day of the draw, he changed his mind, and he got on our half. And I'm like, why is he doing that? Why does he want to do that? And I don't have an answer for that. I questioned. He didn't really he just felt like, I guess there was an extra day prep, and he thought an extra day prep might help them getting ready for us. So knowing we had to play both of them kind of concerned me a little bit, because you're right. I really respect the job that Clint does. They're good at managing the tempo
right.
of the game.
And defend.
Yes. So they're going to defend us. They're going to make it a low 50s, high 40s possession game. And anything can happen. If we don't shoot well, if they make some shots, you know, in that low possession game, it's going to be a battle. And kind of played out that way, although we were able to get the lead.
Right.
And kind of control it. We couldn't get away from them. And it was kind of a tough game, but I felt good about how our guys played and was able to beat
them. That's the thing. Defensively, I can't remember many clean looks they got in that game. They got some in the first matchup and made them. And like I'm saying, they were not deep volleyball line threes. They were legit decent look threes. This time around, it didn't feel like it. Whelan didn't have great looks at it, and he's a really skilled offensive player. And then they just don't have a lot of other dynamic weapons around him. But he never felt like he got into a flow. And you look up, you give up 33 points to a good team. Yeah, it's a low possession game. It's going to be a defensive game, but held him to 33 points, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, and the thing I'd like to point out on that game is we changed a little bit defensively, not a lot, but we didn't switch off of Willem. We kept Maxwell Land on him.
He did a great job.
Oh, my God. Maxwell's so strong and so athletic. Even though he gives up maybe 2 or 3 inches
He's long. He's got long arms.
He's
yeah.
long. He really yeah. bothered him. Never let him get in that sweet spot he liked in the post. I just thought he bothered him all night. And Bash had to have a great game.
Yeah, no doubt.
Right. You know, he had to.
It had to be in the 20s.
Right. Yes. Right. Yes. And I thought Max's defense, just to go back throughout the year, got better and yes. better and better. And you found that he was guarding in a lot of cases. You had him on the other team's best player in a lot of scenarios. And I thought he did a fantastic job. And I think that's something, along with free throw shooting, that he really improved over the season. So it was another one that really stepped up and played really well when he had to. One comment I had about that Lakota East game that I thought surprised me, I thought they tried to slow it down too much and almost took their own guys out of rhythm, especially shooters. And they were just moving the ball around, really waiting for that last shot. You ended up forcing them to make long shots. And as a result, I thought because they had slowed it down, it took their own guys out of rhythm, is what I kind of noticed in that game. Now, when they came out in the third, you know, in the third quarter, I thought they picked it up a little bit. Their guys hit some shots, but they picked the tempo up.
Yes.
Obviously, they're behind, and
yep.
they needed to. But I thought they almost were their own worst enemy there in the first half because their own shooters didn't look like they were in rhythm.
I think that happened quite a bit during the year. I mean,
probably,
if you are going to hold the ball, there is a you know there's another side of that, and your guys do lose rhythm.
Right.
And that's why in the Coleraine game, they were actually holding it. And then hitting the
deep
three.
Yeah, yeah. Right, right.
And they hit it. Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. I think right. in the quarter, that third quarter, Coleraine, that they cut the lead, I think there were only 8, maybe 9 possessions.
And they banged
quarter.
Threes on a chunk of them.
Seven of them.
Yeah.
I mean, seven of them, and then we had like four misses at a turnover, and that's how it's kind of an amazing.
That's how you play catch up to somebody. Yeah. Usually you try to speed the tempo up a little bit. Now we'll just jack up some threes, and they go in, for goodness sakes. Yeah. Let's move to the regional championship game, and again, it's a rematch, and much like Lakota East, a Centerville team that's going to play it at a certain tempo, and a team that really came in really, really hot. Brooke Cups does a great job. That game, as much as I thought Lakota East was going to be tough, I did think you were better. Centerville, just the way they were playing, I thought that would be a very tough matchup, and you guys, again, defensively really played well.
You know, you can't take out the fact that their point guard wasn't playing. Right. It really was a factor.
And for those that don't remember, he got ejected the game before, and a controversial ejection the game before, which forced him then to miss this game and would have missed another game if they'd have won.
Yeah, no question. I think that really affected him. Of course, now, typical me, my worry going in was, you know, referees are aware of that, and old poor Centerville. And, and that didn't play out at all, obviously. So we caught a break there, kind of like we did the year before with the Princeton kid, Baisley. Yeah, it's kind of weird. I think we'd have beaten Centerville. We'd have beaten them. We beat them by 20.
Pretty
handily
in the regular season. Yeah, and then beat them by whatever, 16 in this game or whatever it was. Yeah.
Yeah, but you were right. They really had it going. Brooke is a great coach, and so we catch that break. But I like you. I felt we were pretty locked in and just kind of slowly strangled him. I don't know that he would have made that big of a difference.
No, it wasn't like you turned them over and got a bunch of live ball turnover layups. That's the thing you would think would happen without that point guard in the game. You got some, but not.
Yeah, we did.
No. All right, let's move to the state semifinals. Now you're two wins away. Now you can almost taste it and feel it, and you're in kind of that big time atmosphere. It always feels that way. The game against St. Edward offensively, was that as efficient as you think you played? And some of efficiency comes, you made 26 of 39 shots, but you also had 16 assists on those. And it just felt like you were in a really good offensive rhythm all night long.
Yeah, you know, we shot well early. And you know what's great about, and now we're playing Eric Flannery's team. And as you may know, Eric's coaching the 16 and under USA team. And I've known Eric for years. I got to coach the McDonald's game with him back in 2010. So you're coming off playing Clint Atkins and Brooke Cupp's teams, and I think they're the two best.
Really well coached.
In our region, just two great coaches. Now I knew going to state, we're probably facing Eric Flannery, and then we're going to go to Akron St. V's and have to coach against them. And just the coaches that we had to beat in the end was kind of fun for our coaching staff to get to go against those guys. I thought against St. Ed's. You know, our kids were going to be ready for that game. They scare me in that they struggled all season long. They really have four
dudes.
College basketball
No question.
Players. I mean, they had a nice team, and they struggled. Now, they play. Their schedule is ridiculous. It's so tough. So losing eight games isn't terrible, but I just don't think they played their best. I don't think Flam would tell you that. And then they get hot in the tournament. And that's like the team
you don't want to play.
Those hot teams in the tournament.
With talent and ability and a coach.
Yes. I mean, now I'm thinking, oh, gosh, this is not who I wanted to come out of Cleveland. I was hoping for, you know, any other team other than St. Ed's. But I thought, I don't know how you guys felt, within 2 minutes I look out in the court and say, we're just better.
No doubt. Yeah. No. And some of that comes from shot making and being that efficient, but it was almost like, if you want to try to trade baskets, you're not going to be able to do it for long. Good luck trying to do it.
You came out strong. I mean, just basically made a statement right away.
Yeah,
and they got them back on their heels right away. And I think from that point on, St. Ed's was trying to figure out, okay, how are we going to stay in this game? I thought that was as efficient as I've seen Moeller play all year in that first quarter and a half. You guys were just lights on. Everything was working, clicking. As you said, Skinny, the assists, the threes. I mean, Miles was hot right from the beginning. I mean, he really had a big half. I don't know how much he had in the first half there, Skinny, but
it was a bunch, yeah.
He had a heck of a first half to really get you on a roll there. So,
in the championship game, 17 all at the half, 1 point lead into the fourth quarter, and it was a grind throughout. But then you had two guys that just took over the game, Miles McBride, Alec Frame, and it was almost, if you wanted to wrap it in a bow and write the script, and sometimes that gets hokey, but it kind of wrote the right script, right? The two main guys taking over when you needed them to take over the most, and they literally took over.
They did. I will have memories of that last. You know, there was the media timeout in the third period. We were down five. And from that point on, those two, Alec makes a play that most people probably forget, but Alex bringing the ball, or Alex Williams, and maybe after a rebound, this is the first play out of that media timeout, and he attacks the rim. He's a little bit out of control, and the ball just shoots straight up in the air. Alec bats it back, and just didn't bat it back, right to the shooting pocket of Miles, and he hits that three.
Yep.
Now, I don't know if that was his intention, if that was
But just to keep it alive, though. I mean, that's an effort play, A, to keep it alive. Now, I don't know if the intent was to go right to that spot for the perfect assist, but still to make that play.
Make that play and to go from there. And then if you watch some of the subtle plays that Freem made from that point of the game on, keeping balls alive, driving when he drove it to the basket, finishing against pressure, and Miles, the same thing. Those two, they were not going to let us lose. And it was fun to watch. You watched two guys do that senior year. That was really
special. And you sat there and watched it, and you said, hey, and the two seniors are taking over. I mean, it's they know it's their time, and this is their game, and this is the last one, and they did it. And it was almost conscious. It's a conscious act on their part to say, hey, we've got this. And they just dominated the ball offensively for the rest of the game.
As a coach, you want to control things, right? But at times, you just go, I got to have somebody make a play. I mean, honestly, that's what it is. And no, I mean, was there anything you said, or was it simply, your seniors, man, go make a play?
Both Danny and I emphasized that one media timeout, it's time now. If this is to be for us, you got to go grab it now. I don't think we needed to say that. I think those guys were.
But you're paid to coach, so that's what a coach does, right?
Yeah. So we'll take credit, right? Yeah. When it goes well, but those kids understood at that point, you know. And I give St. V's a lot of credit. We'd blown them out in our gym,
right,
which was totally meaningless. You knew that. I knew that, and we all knew.
Yeah.
But it's hard to get the outside world
to
understand that.
All they see is the raw final score with 99-52. If I'm doing that off the top of my head, something like that.
It was crazy like that. But I knew the athletes they had, and I knew what Drew was going to do. They were going to guard us man for man. They were just going to be. They were going to make
physical.
Us earn and be physical.
Yep.
They were athletic enough that they were going to create their own shot. But they were disciplined. They didn't take the real fast shot that they did at our place. Now, a couple times they did, and Wilson was making some, but I knew they were going to play us so much different. And to be able to win that game, I mean, they probably have – there may be 7 or 8 kids on that team that are going to play college basketball at some level. And it was a great state championship. I'm glad it wasn't a game that was easy for us.
Right.
I'm glad we had
it. I know the people hear that and they're thinking, that's nuts. I'd want every game to be easy. But sometimes it is. It's more, it just means more sometimes.
It does.
It really does, for goodness sakes. As the final seconds ticked off, though, and you looked up at the clock and maybe looked at your assistants or talked to them and looked at the players, anything go through your mind?
Yeah, no, I actually a lot did. It had been tough, you know, playing with that undefeated thing. And in the back of my mind, Richard, I was aware of all the historical significance that was into this championship, and you always put that in the back of your mind. But after we did the handshake line and I was coming back, for whatever reason, the historic part of that being back-to-back and being undefeated, and it kind of hit me. And the team had dedicated the season to my dad. My dad loved Moeller basketball, loved it. So at that moment, it hit me just a little bit. And I'm not an overly emotional guy. Well, these daggone cameras are coming at me to do those after-game interviews.
Tough timing, right?
Yeah, I'm proud. I got it together and was able to do that interview. But really cool for my dad, you know, and I know he enjoyed this, that on the year they dedicated the season to him, you can't have a better year than we had, so it's pretty neat.
No doubt. Very good stuff. All right, we'll take a timeout, come back, wrap things up, a look ahead to next year, and kind of recap a little bit more from this season as we roll along. It's the Moeller Basketball Season Wrap-Up Podcast from ESP Media.
Alabama Fish Bar, the Taste of Cincinnati 2017 winner. Alabama Fish Bar, located in Over the Rhine at 1601 Race Street, Cincinnati. Go to alabamafishbar.com to learn more about this 26-year-old staple serving the freshest fish in historic downtown Cincinnati. Open Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Closed all major holidays.
Filling an opening at your company means more than just finding an employee. You're looking for a fit, a match, Robert Half understands that. We know you need someone who can do the work, someone who complements your culture. And of course, you need that someone fast. When it all comes together, it makes for a perfect fit. Satisfaction guaranteed. Robert Half, the matching experts in accounting, finance, IT, legal, marketing, and administrative staffing. Visit roberthalf.com/radio for more information.
Back here to wrap things up for the Moeller Basketball Season Wrap-Up Podcast. I'm Richard Skinner from Local 12 and Local12.com with Kent McKenzie. I did play-by-play. Kent did color for most games this season with Carl Kramer, the head coach of the Moeller Crusaders. Carl, as I mentioned, and we always want to talk about that group of seniors that are the group of guys that they weren't all seniors that kind of are that white team group that are a big practice group for you. And for people that don't get it, at a school our size at Beechwood, I coach at Beechwood, most of our practices are varsity versus JV. It's just the way the numbers are. And so sometimes JV doesn't get to run their own stuff and practice their own stuff. And sometimes you get in games with them and they don't get in that flow. You do. You have that advantage. That's what Moeller probably should with a school that size and all that stuff. You've got that group. But I'll let you emphasize it. I know in my heart what a group like that means to Moeller basketball because they give you a great look every single day.
Well, Chase Harding and Jared Becker were our seniors
in that group
that led that group, and it's tough. They have to go against the starters, and the coaches are coaching those blue guys mainly, and they have to compete every day, or they get embarrassed, and it's become a big part of our program, something that that I think is that sets us a little different than other schools. But we have to keep doing better at it and making sure that those guys really feel like they are part of it. And I think for the most part they do.
Sure.
Chase Harding actually was voted, he and Miles, for the first time in our history, we give one award, man of Moeller. Chase and Miles won that together. It was kind of neat
Very
to
nice.
Get a gold
yep.
team guy yep. who was part of that. So big part of our program. All those guys, all those juniors on that team too, that worked their butt off. They every bit of that state championship is theirs as much as anyone else. So,
How do those guys? How do you get those guys to sacrifice that? I mean, obviously, some of it is as a player, right? In your heart of hearts, hey, look, Miles McBride's better than I am. Will McCracken's better than I am. I'm gonna compete. I'm gonna try to take their minutes, but they're better. And then you resign yourself to that, but at the same time, you still have to compete and practice with them and make them better because that's part of what you do.
Yeah, I think it's a complicated answer, but I'll take a shot at it. Moeller being a Marinus school founded by Father Chaminade, so I don't want to get too out there theory-wise, but one of the things that Father Chaminade talked about in educational communities was that there be a community of equals, that there's, even in the Marinus, priests weren't treated different than brothers. There wasn't the hierarchy. Sometimes you see in the Catholic right. Church, the Marinus don't believe in that hierarchy. I would say to you, Richard, that's how we want our basketball program to be. There's not a hierarchy. And even if you look at our coaching staff, I have the title of head coach, but everyone's equal on our staff, and everyone has equal responsibilities. And
Just different. Yeah.
They're just different. We try to get guys to different roles, and then we want that to go down to our players, that everybody's role is important. Everybody's helping us accomplish the mission. And, I always use that NASA example. They go to the – back in the 60s when they're trying to – we're trying to get to the moon, and they would ask the janitor in NASA, what's your job? And he said, I'm getting us to the moon.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm a janitor. I'm helping us get to the moon. And that's what we try to create, that culture. Now, how you do it, it's just little things. It's everyone being treated. There are no prima donnas. When we clean the floor, which we do every day to start our practice, Miles McBride is grabbing a broom and he's cleaning the floor too. Everyone's taking their turn. And that's kind of a philosophical approach, but that's what we try to do in our program.
Sure, no doubt. We talked about some guys as the year went along and some of the level of improvement for those guys, and now we'll look ahead to next year. I don't know about you, but when we lost our regional championship game in Northern Kentucky to Covcat, the very next day we were on the phone with each other as a staff talking about next year. I think it's kind of what you do. I don't know how long you guys waited to do that. I don't know if it was a week later, a day later, maybe hell, even that night, for goodness sakes, over a beer, you start looking ahead to next year. How quickly did you do that?
About that quick.
Yeah. we were. I think it's just a coach thing. I mean, you want to embrace the success, right? You want to enjoy it, but guess what? You enjoy it when you did it, and now it's time to turn the page, sadly.
It's the journey, too. You're always you know, you're always looking down the road. What do we have? I mean, even during the season, I'll be during a practice, and I'll walk over to Suss and go, did you see what so-and-so did? Wait till next
year. Oh, right. We do all the time. Absolutely.
Yes. I mean, you're always kind of looking ahead. It's one of the fun things in coaching.
Yeah. As we look at it next year, you lose, as I mentioned, two dudes. I mean, Miles McBride, who's going to go to play at West Virginia, and Alec Freeman is going to play at Bellarmine. And for those that don't know, Bellarmine is a Division II program, but is outstanding. He's a great fit for that with his skill set and the way Scotty Davenport does things down there. So certainly I'm looking for big things from him too. But you lose two really quality players. I guess I got to ask, how do you fill that? You do have three. The good part is you had three sophomores back that got significant minutes, and that's a nice place to start. What kind of team will it be, do you think, as you kind of map it out? More defensive-oriented, maybe even more offensive-oriented, or are you not at that point yet because it's just hard to tell?
Yeah, hard to tell. I'll know that better in the summer. I do think we've got a lot of talent back. In fact, I'm not sure how often we've had five rotation guys
coming back. Yeah, because Max Land is back and Curran's back.
And, you know, obviously, as you look at it, our three best decision makers last year and two of the best decision makers I've ever coached are graduating.
Right.
All those younger guys, that's something Will has to get better at decision making. Maxwell needs to become a better decision maker. I think Alex Williams is actually, even though he's not built like a point guard, I think you will see the ball in his hands a lot because I think he actually is a pretty good decision maker. Logan Duncombe has a chance to be dominant around the rim.
And it felt like as the year went on, he got more comfortable with his post moves. And you see it with big guys. A sophomore big guy, unless he's heading for the NBA lottery by the time he's whatever, they're just not even close to where they eventually wind up. But you saw flashes of it at times as the season went along that, hey, you give him the right matchup in the post, he's starting to get some moves and some footwork down.
No doubt. And, you know, he played that whole year at 15 years old. I mean, that's playing our schedule at 15. So he's going to be really good. You know, Michael Kern will be as good a leader and as good an all-around player. He can guard every position. He can even play. He's the one kid coming back. He had 44 assists to 12 turnovers.
That's incredible.
Last year. Now, he's not a point guard necessarily.
Yeah, that's going to create, but.
But he can do some things. Right. He could be our trail. Alex could be our trail. And then we got a bunch of sophomores that I think are going to fight for that point guard, if you even want to call it that, position. And if we can get that feel, we'll be a pretty good team. But you're losing some special guys.
You are indeed, for sure.
There's a reason we've been pretty good the last 3 years. Yep. And those guys that we lost were a big part of it. So, but, you know, you look around the city, you don't see a dominant team. Mm-hmm. I think we have a chance to be right there with anyone.
Right. Yeah, this was such a dominant team that you just don't see come along the last couple of years, the two groups. And they're very different, obviously, groups, the way things evolve. But you just don't see this in the city very often.
Statistically, what this team did this year, we'll look back on this team 10 years from now and we'll say, that cannot happen. Yeah. In the GCL, we had an average margin of victory of 25 points a game. In the GCL.
And that doesn't happen.
When you played in the GCL, you would never – to win a game was like the hardest thing in the world. The average margin of victory. And it was 26 points a game in all of our games. And, guys, that was not playing our starters pretty typically fourth quarter.
That was playing a Centerville in the regular season you met deep in the postseason. That's playing a Winton Woods in the regular season that you met – deep in the postseason. That's playing Lakota East in the regular season that you met deep in the postseason. That's playing St. Vincent, St. Mary that you played in the regular season that got to the championship. So that was playing that kind of a schedule.
Two of the teams that we played in Florida played in the Final Four.
Yeah, I didn't even think
about
that.
One played in the final game, the other played in the Final Four.
Did this team average more points than any team you've ever coached?
You know, I don't know the answer to that.
It had to be darn close.
Early in the season, I know we were. I don't know. It probably is close. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, we did. And that was with people holding the ball on us a lot.
I mean,
our games got shortened.
Oh, yeah.
Almost every time.
They did. But you still put up big numbers offensively, unlike anything I've seen in the last several years.
Yeah.
I don't know what team would compare offensively. Would you compare a previous team offensively to this one?
You know, the team we have with Josh Duncan and Bragman and Bubba.
Bubba, yeah.
A lot of offensive
ability. A lot of offense
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, we didn't guard a whole lot with that team. How can you if Bubba's playing?
Yeah, exactly. Right?
I hope Bubba hears this. But we, that team, probably had the most offensive talent of any team I ever coached. But this team, you know, they – And again, I think it's somewhat reflective, and I don't know why, and I'm not, you know, it's for us, we just go out and play, and whoever's there, we play them. I do think basketball's down a little bit in Southwest Ohio. It's just a little bit now. Centerville's going to come up.
Yep.
They're going to get better and better. I think Springfield's going to be really good next year. Lakota East will continue to be good. So, like everything, maybe it's just in
cycles
yeah. a little yeah. bit, yeah. But in all fairness, I just don't think, you know, Southwest Ohio was strong.
But it was still a strong team that did what you guys did, for goodness sakes.
Yeah,
that's for sure. Absolutely. Hey, last, before we let you go, I do want to ask you about Jackson Hayes, because he's opted to enter the NBA draft as a projected lottery pick. And to I personally, watching him as a junior, and to watch his development last year and to watch his development this year, it shows you that I think everybody always pigeonholes a kid when he's an eighth grader or a freshman or even sometimes junior into senior, that's what they are, that's all they're ever going to be. Did you see this in him at some point? Maybe even last year, where you went, man, he is stupid special.
You know, I would, and I want to be careful because I'm not saying I predicted this, but even when he wasn't playing for us, we would look at him. Kent, you probably remember that.
Oh, yeah.
And we would say,
oh, yeah, I do.
Oh, my gosh. When that kid, when it all comes together for him, he's going to be phenomenal. He had these gigantic hands and long arms, and his hips seem, you know, to be so far off that you just knew it. But, my gosh, whoever would have predicted that, you know, we would be a kid who wasn't starting for us. Just
as a junior, yeah.
As a junior, 24 months ago. Now he was playing a fairly significant role, but not starting.
Yeah, he was in that 8-man rotation. Yeah, in that rotation.
To be in, you know, a somewhat likely lottery pick. Mm-hmm. Now, you never know on the draft, so I don't want to over-predict anything.
All right, well, let's just go this. He's at least a first-round pick.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Mid-range to up. All right, we'll go there.
Yes, And I've had about 12 teams call me, and they're all pretty positive that he's going to go in the upper half of the first round.
Because I think he's just going to get better.
Well, and that's the reason I think he had to go now, because I think he's so intriguing to people. For that, he's just intriguing. You can't really risk going back and maybe plateauing a little bit.
No doubt.
You know?
And that's what this is all about when you look at guys. Wait a minute, why is he going in the NBA draft? Because he's intriguing, and that sometimes the intrigue is worth it to teams. It may not pan out, but the intrigue's worth it, and it's worth it to your bank book. So take advantage of it.
So many kids go out when they shouldn't, as you know. It's almost sad to watch some of the kids make bad decisions. I truly believe with Jackson, this is exactly what he should be doing. He comes from a family that's going to keep him grounded.
Sure.
It's an amazing thing. We literally watched him get better practice to practice, and we saw that for 2 years. And then even watching him this year, I don't know how much you guys got to watch Texas, but I watched him
a little enough. Yeah.
Yeah, I went down, saw him play one time.
I
went down, flew down. Yeah.
And literally got better game to game. Like I would watch him one game, the next game, he's closing out the ball, and he's a little lower, and he's a little more balanced, and he's beating the post guy to a spot. He just is learning it so quick. It's going to be fun to see what happens.
Kent, got any final thoughts?
No, congratulations. First of all, Coach of the Year here in the state of Ohio, USA Today. Saw that come out, so congratulations, Coach. I know it, as you would say, you give all the credit to the kids, but it's one of those things where, Coach, you've done such a fantastic job over the years, and I think more than anything, although you've had a lot of great team success, the young men that have come out of the program have just been exceptional, moved on and done such a great job as husbands, fathers. I think that's the most impressive thing that we take from it as adults, as we look back on your career. And again, just congratulations on a fantastic run here. The last 3 years have been just phenomenal, and it's been fun to watch.
Thanks, Kent.
Yeah, Carl, I mean, you and I go back to 26, 27 years. It means we're both getting older. I'll go older instead of old. Back in the days at the Cincinnati Post, to watch where the Moeller basketball program has come from in those early years where you were trying to build a program, and to see what you've built over these last two decades plus is really, really impressive. Congratulations to not only this year, but what you've done over the last two decades plus with the program.
I appreciate that. And here's the truth. I get to see a lot of coaches. There are many better coaches than me. But the one thing I am really proud of, I do believe we've built the best program in Ohio. Just the program, top to bottom, how it operates, the coaching staff that we have, and I'm proud of that. It's just it really is a team effort. It's reflective of how we want the game to be played, and I've thought often that after this year, this would be a perfect year to retire.
No, I hate to tell you, it probably would be. I wasn't going to say that, but I mean.
And the thoughts crossed my mind, but then I realized, my goodness, it's the one thing I like to do.
Right.
Like you were saying, we're already thinking about next year. You know that as a coach.
Yeah, no doubt.
You guys are coaches.
And I think it starts next week, I think. Yes. You guys start prepping.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, we do the 23rd. Sus has been locked in on that. So it's what we do, and that's when you realize it's really not the outcomes. And, you're thankful for winning states. But once you've kind of done that, okay. So, kind of so what? It is the journey of trying to do it that is fun for coaches.
And I'll be honest, you'll probably have a team here in the next few years, whatever it is going to go 16-9. You may be as proud of that team as you were of a 29-0 team, right?
There's no
question.
I mean,
really.
So one of our student coaches, Luke Blasey, in his senior speech at our banquet, talked, and he was maybe the fourth or fifth speaker, and he said, all this is great and everything that everyone's saying, but what if we not won our last game? Wouldn't this still have been an unbelievable season? Wouldn't we still be brothers? And he got it. He understood really what it was. So, that makes me feel good. And that's what I want our program to be about.
Outstanding work, as always. We appreciate you guys letting us be a part of it. Excited about broadcasting next year, which will be the 10th year for ESP Media doing Mueller broadcasts. Thanks so much, and congratulations again.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Kent.
Yep, yeah, for Kent McKenzie and the head coach, Carl Kramer, I'm Richard Skinner. This has been the Mueller Basketball Season Wrap-Up Podcast from ESP Media.